from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hello and welcome to The Fan, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty in the morning, starting off a minute early. That's because we love you. They say to do it at 6. We'll do it at 5:59. Who gives a rip?
I like going at 5:58 if you ask me, Dusty. You know what I would love to do this morning?
Talk about the Royals?
I would, but you know what? We can't. We just can't today because of that text message we all received last night about 10:13.
I was already asleep.
I woke up to it this morning, but by God, it was a vital text message that the entire station received last night.
Yeah, did you see the Chiefs made an acquisition?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam Thomas.
Cam Thomas, got him.
No way, we got Cam Thomas?
We got Cam Thomas, yeah.
The next Jake Long.
What a steal. Yeah.
Howie Long.
Yep, we got him.
He might be TJ Watt.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Yeah, he could be as good as Max Crosby.
Brett Veachtown, baby.
Let's go.
Heck yeah.
The only reason I know we acquired this gentleman is because the entire staff got a text from Jay Binkley last night at 10:13, alerting everybody to the fact that the Chiefs have just gone out and acquired some gentleman by the name of Cam Thomas. They gave up a 7th-round draft pick for Cam Thomas, who was with the Arizona Cardinals. And we were debating this morning why Binkley decided to text everybody that nugget of information at 10:13 last night.
Also tweeted.
He tweeted it as well? Okay.
Same thing.
Came to the conclusion that Binkley wanted to let everybody know he had this guy mocked to the Chiefs in the third round, two seasons ago, mm-hmm. You know, in that mock draft. And so, good morning to the rest of the staff as you're waking up today. You got a Cam Thomas text waiting for you. It's going to be good.
I thought Cam Thomas just like participated in like the Heritage Open golf tournament.
I thought he was a guy that played offensive line at one point for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe he was on a reality show.
Could have been.
How many different Cam Thomases are there?
There's about 1,000 different Cam Thomases. But this is the one that Binkley mocked to the Chiefs a couple of years ago in the third round.
Season changer.
I guess so. I didn't know that it merited a text at 10:13 at night.
If he didn't mock, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad that like they acquired somebody, but I'm like, I thought this might be like Kadarius Toney got like Kadarius Toney getting cut, which we all think is going to happen,
right? Or so, traded one way or the other.
That
right?
would merit a 10 p.m. text,
correct?
And this is us sounding old. I don't really have a rip, but it's funny, like. Sky Moore getting traded merits a text. At 11:30.
Sure, yeah, let everybody know.
I'll wake up in the morning and be like, oh, wow, okay. Didn't know that. Cam Thomas.
Right. So Cam Thomas gets traded, you know, to us, according to Binkley's text. I start looking at like ESPN.com this morning, NFL. I'm like, where is this information coming from? So I'm like, what was this guy's name again? So I Googled him, Cam Thomas. There he is on the Pro Football Talk website. And they gave up a 7th-round draft pick for Cam Thomas, which means he was going to get cut, you know, by Arizona. But with the waiver wire the way that it is, the Chiefs would never have gotten to him. So they felt like giving up a 7th-round draft pick for this guy is worth the flyer, you know, on Cam Thomas. What is he, a defensive end? Can come in here and maybe give you a little depth along that defensive line? That's a Spags type of move right there, right?
3rd-round pick just 2 years ago.
That's Brett Veach going to Spags and going, what do you need? What can I do for you? What else do you need? And Spags is like, you know, give me another defensive lineman and let's call it a day. All right, fine. I'll see if I can go find you a defensive lineman. Let's let Binkley know, though, so he can text the staff.
Cam Thomas.
Anybody else on this staff would have texted us about Cam Thomas other than Jay Binkley?
Not on the staff. In the group text, maybe, but not in the staff.
Yeah.
Well, one, you're asleep.
Yeah.
Cody's probably asleep. Kids will wear you out.
Yep.
Alex is probably gaming.
Yeah.
Or he's like locked into like some sort of mid MLB game that he bet on.
Mm-hmm.
Max knee deep in
fantasy
draft.
Football. Yep. Yeah.
Ignoring everyone's texts, including mine.
Right. What were you doing? You were asleep at that time last night.
Yeah, I had confirmed to him that I had done some work.
Yep.
never heard anything back. Didn't even get a double tap.
Sorry, my bad.
No, Thank it's
you.
Fine.
No, he's knee deep in drafting the Cam Thomases of the world, right?
I forgot to tell him happy birthday. Yep. I realized where it's
hang out. Went to the Applebee's for his birthday. Had a good time.
We got to bring it back up to our old first hiccup in the relationship. Yeah.
Next time still you want to go to Applebee's, you don't need to just tell your mom it's your birthday and to have her take you to the bees. You can we'll go for lunch sometime.
Text the boys. Yes,
I'll go and get you a molten lava cake. Let's see here. Carrington, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Rob,
no.
Recently married.
Recently
they have
married.
A new bedtime.
Right.
Yeah, Binkley.
Yeah, Binkley. That's about it. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And for those of you that think that we're just making fun of Binkley, we're not. We're letting you know this is the biggest tease of all time because Wednesday starting tomorrow.
Right.
Jay Binkley's back with his hits on college football because there's a couple big games on Wednesday.
Huge games coming up on Thursday night. That Lindenwood, Kansas tilt, that Murray State, Missouri tilt, and who's playing K-State? Austin Peay?
Yep.
No. Huge game.
Yep.
Tennessee Martin. I knew it was a gentleman's name.
Tennessee Martin was really good in the Revolutionary War.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of really good in a war, how about Salvador Perez?
So he's had a huge day and night. 3-1 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep left center. That's way back. And it's gone. A grand slam for Salvador Perez. And the Royals lead it 9-4.
A smattering of booze.
Easy power from Salvi does it again.
So yesterday was probably, if you could tell yourself, what's the perfect scenario for the Kansas City Royals in the middle of this riptide that Vern calls it, yesterday was that was perfection.
Yeah, that was great.
Game one, you fight adversity. Your starter goes out with tightness. Uh-huh. Maybe it's just the heat.
And when he
know.
Went out, man, I think everybody just melted down, right? Like because it was one of those situations. Obviously, most people weren't watching the game because it was in the middle of the afternoon.
Right.
But like it was one of those situations where he threw a pitch and he looked at the dugout. Even the catcher looked at the dugout. Everybody's waving, you know, the training staff in. And immediately Cole Reagans is out of the game. And you're thinking to yourself, worst case scenario, right? Then again, it is a baseball player and they tend to over exaggerate at times some of the injuries and whatnot that go on. But either way, your heart kind of sunk a little bit when you saw that and heard that, or however you were consuming the game yesterday. Maybe you saw it after the game, but I was watching it live yesterday and I saw, you know, oh my God, here comes the training staff. Cole Reagans immediately off the field. And when something like that happens, you're like, oh my God, this is a terrible injury. Caffeinating later, they tell you it's just cramping and stuff like that. Grab some salt tablets, grab some Gatorade, whatever, potassium, and move on. And hopefully everything's going to be okay with Cole Reagans. And it should be okay with Cole Reagans. But so that was an early scare in that game.
That was literally the only hiccup yesterday. That was it. And then they talked to Royals manager Matt Cotrero after
the
game.
Well, that Blanco play in the first inning was.
We'll get to that. Let us shine for a little bit. Let us shine for a little bit. Then we'll get to the Little League World Series. Worst play. Kid threw it to first base with nobody there, or Blanco just went.
Well, no, it's Blanco because the kid doesn't know he's a kid, you know.
Like, nobody there. Anyways, so first game, Reagans goes out, hamstring tightness. Cotrero after the game said, yeah, he kind of was like battling all day, you know, couldn't put any weight on the back leg, which is your push leg, obviously, if you like baseball enough. Anyways, then in a feeling of, okay, we were up 3-2 because MJ Melendez hit that great through and home run. The MacArthur comes out, gets saved again by a great play.
By MJ.
One of the best you'll see all year.
Is MJ off like everybody's, you know, like let's beat him up type of thing? Because, you know, he's playing really good baseball right now.
He's earned it.
Yeah, I think he has. Yeah.
He's earned his new life, you know, ever since that 10-day DL stint, when he's came back, they've kind of put him in there in the right times, right situations. And yesterday, he's a hero.
I mean, like,
he's
won how many games that I can think of? He won that Detroit game with the big home run, and then he won yesterday's game with the home run, and then not just the home run, but with the play in the outfield.
And this is where I hate to be this guy because he had a great catch, he had a great 3-run home run, but then again, you're superstar.
The 0-1. Swing and a high fly ball, deep left center field. Back goes Kwan. It is gone up into the bleachers. So right after Cleveland ties the game in the bottom of the seventh, Bobby Witt Jr. hits home run number 27. And the Royals lead 4-3 in the eighth.
Yeah. Huge.
And that's your superstar when you're Cy Young candidate, and ace of your staff goes out. You just lost the lead in, what, the seventh inning or the eighth inning? And then all of a sudden, your superstar comes up, puts the weight on his shoulders, and it's like, sorry, MJ, you had a really good game, but I've got to do this and be this guy. Well, and that's just, and I know it's not that mentality, but when you look at everything at the end of the day, it's like, oh, Bobby Witt Jr. hit the game-winning home run. Oh, that was awesome. Like, great, good for Bobby. But, like, behind that
right.
is probably one of the catches of the year, if not the catch of the year.
The catch of the year, yeah.
And then MJ hits a, you know, three-run homer after Reagans had walked a guy in.
Right.
It's 2-0. MJ Melendez came up, hit a three-run home run, and then he saves the game with a diving catch, which we'll talk to Royals manager Matt Cotrero tomorrow. I'm interested to see what his reaction, his raw reaction was to that catch. But, again, as we started this conversation, it was a perfect day for the Royals. Everybody lost. You won both games of doubleheader. You guaranteed yourself a split in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in house money. You don't have the pressure anymore. The pressure's on Cleveland. And Bob, Cleveland in their last 10, 3-7, Royals 7-3. The Royals this season, a plus 102 run differential, Cleveland 71. That's a plus 29 in favorite of the Royals. Kansas City at home, 41-28. Cleveland or at, on the road, 33-30. Cleveland on the road, 35-34. At home, 40-23. And the Royals are now 6-2 versus Cleveland this year. And the Royals now are ahead of Minnesota in the division. They are one game behind Cleveland, and they have a game and a half lead in the wild card in that second spot.
You know, all of that's all well and good, but I told you last week Cleveland was dead. They're a dead stick right now, and they're not playing inspired baseball. And if you were watching the Cleveland team, which nobody was, I just happened to be watching it because they were on in the middle of the day last week. I'm watching. This is an uninspired team. This is a team that has zero life. This is a team that has zero fight. This is a team that played great at the beginning of the season, and now they're doing what a lot of young teams do, and that's fade away towards the end of the season. When the pressure gets hot, they don't have the ability to stay on fire, and we saw that in that series against the Yankees. They had Texas. They took 2 out of 3 from the Rangers. Whoop-de-doo. That's another team that's kind of cashed it in, you know, on the season, and now you're playing against the Royals, who are kind of your kryptonite, and when you're not playing good baseball and you're facing a team that has your number, you're going to lose those baseball games. And so today, the Royals go out there and win, and they're tied for first place in the American League Central, which is what we were talking about last week when I guaranteed you they're going to win the division, because they're playing good, and Cleveland has basically, I don't want to say given up on the season, because that's a harsh term to use, but they're not playing good baseball right now. Bobby Witt hitting that home run is akin to Patrick Mahomes winning the MVP in the first Super Bowl. Damian Williams should have been the MVP. We don't always have to give credit and say, oh my God, because of Bobby Witt. Like, I don't want to get into that Patrick Mahomes mold where we don't want to give anybody else credit, because I think we've kind of gotten there a little bit with the Chiefs. He makes great plays, does all that, and sometimes we forget there's other pieces and people that, you know, kind of lead you to victory. Bobby hit the big home run yesterday. But that game was won because of MJ Melendez. And I think it's important to say that, because so many people have been anti-MJ Melendez because they get expectations, like Kadarius Toney-type expectations, where you expected MJ Melendez to hit 330, 30 homers, and 100 RBIs and be this, you know, slick defensive player, and he hasn't lived up to those expectations. But without MJ Melendez out there yesterday, we don't win that first game of the doubleheader. And I don't know how much that carries over into the second game. Probably not at all. But you win that first game and you're feeling really good. And MJ Melendez's catch and MJ Melendez's home run are the reason why. Because you look at the box score too. Schreiber got the win yesterday, right? Like, did he really? Did he really get the win yesterday? Like, MJ Melendez should get the W in the standings because of that. That catch was so good that he made out there in left field. I don't think we've seen anything like that since the likes of Alex Gordon playing left field. So I want to give MJ his flowers a little bit, because I think he deserves it. He may not be your favorite player. He may not be one of the top 3 or 4 guys you love on the team, but boy, he seems like a glue guy and comes up in big moments. Like, I feel like when MJ gets to the plate right now, he's going to do something special. He's got a lot of big moments this year.
Yeah. Give him his flowers. We'll get back into the Royals a little bit later on, where we can talk about the captain of the team who was the hero in game 2. Lots of Royals content. They're back at it tonight at 5:40. Vern's pregame show at 4:30. Michael Lorenzen on the hill. Kansas City a game and a half above Cleveland in
Who's
the Central.
Cleveland throwing today?
Some guy named Williams who has a 5.6 ERA.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, 3-8. Game and a half above Minnesota, game behind Cleveland. Royals really kicking some ass lately here. And the bullpen yesterday was really good.
Bullpen good, yep.
Coming up on the other side, it is cut day, unfortunately. Surprise cut, Cam Thomas, CeeDee Lamb contract, all that little baseball coming up after that as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on 96.5, The Fan, I am Dusty Likens with Bob Fesco and Mac Morey, our executive producer, on a Tuesday.
Get after it on a Tuesday.
You always do.
I like it.
Not mad about it.
We call it Naked Tuesday at our house. Mm.
That's a good way to get through the week.
Got to have something to get you through, right?
Right. Got to have something to look forward to.
Yep.
Whether you like it or not. Oh, going to the in-laws. Well, looking forward to it.
Yep.
At least you're ahead of the curve. I do want to get into Salvador Perez a little bit later on because the guy's just a freak.
I don't think he made an out yesterday. Two games. Like, Salvi was on fire.
He's on fire in baseball and in life. And he is an example of something that I say every day. So I want to bring that up a little bit later on. But it is a significant day in football. I know this is a day that guys like Mac and guys like Drew and Binkley that really kind of dive into the deep cuts of football. The Chiefs will obviously, and everybody else will, condense their roster down to the actual number that it needs to be. 37 players get cut.
Right.
It's a tough day for a lot of people. Some people tweet about it. Those people remind me of the people that put up thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. We all know the business.
Right.
It's tough. One of these days, it ain't going to go well for me or for Bob or for Mac or somebody. And it's just that's the way that this business is. Cutthroat business.
Right.
So is football.
So is football.
No pun intended. But the Chiefs are, to me, a team that's a little bit different than everybody else in the NFL. Maybe Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Detroit might be in those lists as well.
Is that your top four teams in the NFL going into the season? San Francisco, Detroit, Philly, and Kansas City?
Three NFC and one AFC.
Which is really different from what it used to be, right?
Very different.
You think about it, it used to be Kansas City, it used to be Cincinnati,
Buffalo.
It used to be Buffalo was in that mix. I mean, now you're naming your top four teams, and you got three NFCs. Wow.
I don't know if those are my top four. I would say my top – I just was naming teams that have, you know, rosters that are solidified. I guess Baltimore's
but I don't
up
think
there,
that's
too.
I don't think that's a bad top four teams to have right now in the NFL. If you're looking at it, right? You got the Chiefs, you got Philly, which everybody seemingly either loves or hates. There's no middle ground with them. And then you've got San Francisco Super Bowl, and Detroit's everybody's love, you know, child this year. So
yeah, I mean, I would say if I gave you my top four, it'd probably be Kansas City, San Francisco, Baltimore, and Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Just judging, looking at rosters, then, you know, your fifth, you could cycle in between Houston, but it's the sophomore season, yada, yada, yada. But either way, I think this is the time of year, at least for the last couple years, the Chiefs have kind of had an advantage over everybody else as well. Because let's be honest, like, they've known what their roster, essentially the shell of their roster, is going to be. They don't really need somebody to go out there and surprise them.
Right.
Now, where they got lucky this year, I believe, is running back too. I think they've solidified that through this process, right? Carson Steele, which we now have his official nickname. I'll get into that a little bit later as well, if you'd like. But it's the receivers this year where it's kind of completely flipped. And we always talk about how Brett Veach is so one or two steps ahead of everybody else, or what maybe you are thinking. And last year, the biggest issue in this roster was the receiver room. And now this receiver room is a little too loaded. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the addition of Juju Smith-Schuster yesterday, you still drafted a receiver and went out and signed a receiver all in the offseason, even though you did lose one in MVS, but so did Buffalo. But he's the reason why three Super Bowl quarterbacks exist in the NFL.
That's right.
You know,
I wouldn't call us losing MVS.
Okay. Yeah, see, addition by subtraction, I think,
is what they call that. Yeah.
But no, you look
don't
at that.
Don't let the door
and
hit you.
So
the good Lord split you.
And we look at, you know, I think there was a tweet that we had earlier. It was one of those, like, well, that's obvious. But it was from Primetime KC. Bleacher Report lists Kadarius Toney as a surprise cut candidate. It's not really a surprise, is it?
No, I don't. I think it'd be more of a surprise if Kadarius Toney makes the roster than if Kadarius Toney is off the roster. And I think people, you know, obviously there's a lot of folks who don't follow the game of football and all this kind of stuff, you know, like we do here in Kansas City. I'm sure outside of Kansas City, if you talk to, you know, somebody sitting in Jacksonville, they know the name Kadarius Toney. That seemingly is a quote unquote big name type of player because he was a first round draft pick. He's not a big type of player. He is pretty much a seventh wide receiver on a roster that is not reliable. Okay. Just because you know the name doesn't mean they're a good football player or a good baseball player. You just know that name. Kadarius Toney never amounted to anything in the NFL like he had the hype train coming in from college. And he floundered miserably in New York. They traded him here. Congratulations, helped us win a Super Bowl. But he's been an unreliable wide receiver, you know, ever since. And you were saying about the wide receiver depth. I don't know that there's necessarily like a lot of depth at wide receiver. There's a lot of numbers at wide receiver right now. And if they thought there was a lot of depth, they wouldn't have gone out and signed Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, yesterday like they did. They brought him in here because they need a little bit more depth and they need a little bit more reliability at the wide receiver spot other than what those guys, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, maybe even Mecole Hardman into that conversation as well, were offering the quarterback Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. They're like, what are you hearing about why this was made? And I said, well, the reason it was made is because it gives you a veteran presence like we talked about yesterday that can be in your rotation and that can be a reliable guy. And that's what it's all about now this season, is getting as many reliable players as you can have around Patrick Mahomes, or players that Patrick Mahomes can rely on, and Juju Smith-Schuster happens to be one of them. So you're going to have Hollywood Brown obviously missing a couple of games. You're going to have Xavier Worthy. You're going to have Juju Smith-Schuster right now. Maybe Mecole Hardman factors into that mix as well. Maybe Sky Moore factors in. Maybe Justin Watson factors into that mix for the Chiefs at the wide receiver spot. So there are some guys there, but needless to say, after you get past Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, and you know, maybe a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, there's not a lot of quote-unquote reliable guys out there that Patrick Mahomes could count on. And so that's why they went out and got Juju Smith-Schuster. And he's going to help them, you know, in that process moving forward. And I think it's a good move by this team to go out there and do that. So long story short, if Kadarius Toney makes the team today, I think we should all be surprised and go, huh, what the hell did we all miss about Kadarius Toney, and why are they keeping him? I just hope the FOMO with Kadarius Toney is over from the Kansas City Chiefs and they can move on. Look how long it took the Royals to move on from Mondi. When they did, they became a better football team. Sometimes you just got to move on from a guy that's kind of holding everybody back. And I think that's where Kadarius Toney is right now.
With the Juju Smith-Schuster signing, I think a lot of people had, you know, three different paths they went down. Like, do they know something about Rashee Rice? No, there's still no court date. Not until December 9th. We've seen that. We talked about that yesterday with all the cases that came out of the suspensions this year. All those had been legalized and finalized and done. That's why those people got their suspensions. Rashee Rice still hasn't gotten his. Don't think he will. At least that's where we're tracking. And then you look at, what does this mean for Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore? I think one of those guys is out. We'll find out today on the roster. I don't think Sky Moore's going to miss it. I think he's still, cheaper to keep him?
Yeah.
So with Kadarius Toney, it's just like, look, man, like, we gave you a chance. It didn't work out. It still didn't work out. We tried. It is what it is. Uh-huh. And we're probably 6 hours away from him going on Twitter and absolutely just demolishing the Chiefs.
Yeah, I hope he does. It'd be great.
We saw Legarius Sneed get a little sad yesterday. Did you see that, by the way?
Legarius, I mean, you had an opportunity. Everybody has an opportunity to stay. It's an opportunity of, do they want to pay you the money that you feel you're worth? And if you're Legarius Sneed and you got three rings, you go chase the bag at that point, man. You go get as much cash as you possibly can. But like yesterday, it was really bizarre to see the reaction of folks with the Juju Smith-Schuster signing. Like, everybody was looking for some sort of conspiracy theory as to why they went out and signed him. And really, there is no conspiracy theory. It's nothing to do with Rashee Rice. It has nothing to do with Hollywood Brown's injury. They went out and they thought they could make their roster better. And that's what you do as a general manager. That's why Brett Veach has been so successful. It's not because they have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce at the top of the roster. It's everybody that contributes at the bottom of the roster. And, you know, we'll get into Carson Steele in a minute. My wife sent me this post of his coach posting on some Chiefs board all about this kid. And, you know, you mentioned his nickname that we'll get to and all this kind of stuff. Like, those are the guys that ultimately end up being the reason why you win championships, because they bring that whole thing together. You're only as good as the bottom part of your roster. That's why with, you know, MJ Melendez yesterday doing his thing, it's nice to give Bobby and Salvi credit, but man, you're not winning games without MJ Melendez. You're not winning games, in my opinion, this year and taking it to the next level without Juju Smith-Schuster making a couple of big catches. There's going to be a couple of big catches that Juju Smith-Schuster makes this year in certain games that gives you the ability to maybe run out the clock, pick up a first down that you need, score a late touchdown, be a reliable guy for Patrick Mahomes. I think this move by signing Juju Smith-Schuster is going to pay dividends in a couple of games this year. And so that's why you go out and get him. You get him to make that bottom part of your roster, the bottom part or middle part of your wide receiver position group, better than where it is right now. Like, there's no, I know people love conspiracy theories and they want to have reasons why for everything. Why did you get Juju? Because he makes our team better. That's why.
Yeah, you added a guy in the fifth wide receiver spot. Like, make it simple. Who's done something in the NFL, not only in the league, but with this team just 2 years ago, and you've replaced him with guys who, again, make it simple, who've done nothing with this team or in the league ever and have had multiple opportunities. This is not a first-year chance with Remigio, with Sky Moore, with Tony, with Ross.
And I don't think, you know, I hate to say this, but I don't think Patrick Mahomes is at the stage of his career where he wants to deal with young guys learning the wide receiver position. Yeah. Like, he had that opportunity last year to do it. Didn't go so well. And Mahomes is like, I got championships to win. I got a legacy to create here. And if Juju Smith-Schuster can come into this team and be somebody that gives me the opportunity to have somebody that's reliable, I want that. No offense to Nico Remigio or Colin Powell or whoever's on the team. Like, you look at those guys and you're like, okay, fine. Go about a practice squad somewhere else. I can't have you getting in the way or being somebody that I can't rely on. Juju Smith-Schuster's available. Hey, Brett, let's go get that guy, bring him in here. I know I can count on him, and I know that's a guy that I can rely on during the season. I don't know where I am with these younger guys. Maybe a year on the practice squad will change things, and then next year one of those guys can get bumped up, and yada, 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 here we sit. But as of right now, this is all about them stacking this team with as many reliable, good players as they possibly can. I told you, this three-peat is a real thing for them. Kicking everybody's ass is a real thing for them. They are ready to go, and Juju Smith-Schuster makes you that much better over some of these other guys that could have been that fifth wide receiver.
To the text line and the concerns, we understand the app is down. We're trying. I don't know. There's just out of our control. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what we're supposed to do about that, Mac. I think there's a button you hit. Go call Sterling. Let him know that the app is down. Yeah. But apparently the app is playing commercials, and then when we come on, it goes dead air. So I don't know if there's a button that you have to push back there that flips us programming over. Sometimes with baseball, people do things the night before that they're not supposed to touch. So maybe there's a button that you need to push, because if they're hearing the commercials on the app, that means something is going over.
Yeah.
But what we're saying isn't. So
I know that I had text last night about app issues from another producer.
I know
that apparently there were internet issues at my house just in general, so that could be, you know, part of this. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I got into a fight with my eighth grader yesterday. I said, why don't you call me instead of, you know, trying to text or whatever? She goes, I don't have internet. I can't make a phone call. I go, the phone does not work on internet. And so we were battling this in the car on the ride home. I'm 47. You're 14. I think I know how the phone works. Like, in no world do you need the internet to make a phone call? Now, maybe you didn't have your cell service inside the school yesterday, but it has nothing to do with the internet. You do not need the internet to use your phone.
Speaking of the internet and text messages, sources said last night, according to Ian Rapoport, the Arizona Cardinals traded linebacker Cam Thomas to the Kansas City Chiefs for a seventh round pick, some added edge help.
Yeah.
Cam Thomas comes to Kansas City. Edge rusher, linebacker, gives you some depth in the rotation. Maybe they see a little bit of not full strength or what they thought they might get out of Felix and Duke Uzama. Or maybe they do like what they see and they're just getting a rotation on that outside edge to see if they can keep fresh legs, fresh arms in there to kind of get some pressure. But either way, more help to the defense is never going to be a complaint for me.
No, not at all. I mean, but that's how the Spags defense works. I mean, that's when he's at his best as a coordinator, when he has, I don't know, 12 different guys he can rotate in on the defensive line. Just keep them fresh, keep them fresh, keep them fresh, keep them fresh. And that really messes with the opposition. It's a fine move. I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I mean, I know Binkley will, but we're not going to sit here and delve into what this Cam Thomas move means. Again, there's no conspiracy theories with this one. There's no reason that everybody should freak out about who's going to make the roster and who's not going to make the roster. They're trying to make the bottom third of their roster better. And as we know, Omenihu is not going to start the season ready to go. He's still got to work his way back from the injury. So this could be somebody that kind of fills that role for the Chiefs. A little bit of an experienced guy, was going to get cut by Arizona. Chiefs kind of liked him, had their eye on him. And who knows, by the end of the year, we may be talking about Cam Thomas making plays. I expect Cam Thomas will have a play or two for this organization that we're talking about, because seemingly everybody that Brett Veach goes out and gets has a moment where they make an impact on this organization and a moment where they go out there and play big and do something special. So I don't know what that moment's going to be for Cam Thomas, but I'm sure at some point in the season we'll be like, that's the moment right there. He did something. So you're just adding depth, and that's the beauty of this time of year. There are some guys that aren't going to make rosters, but that doesn't mean they can't play in the NFL. That doesn't mean they're not good enough. And if Brett Veach is going out and picking me off of somebody else's roster, the rest of the league should probably be be pretty scary about that, because Brett has a pretty good track record of finding guys that nobody really wants, and then they turn them into really good football players here, except for Kadarius Toney.
Thought it was interesting yesterday that one of the final leaves fell in Dallas, as Jerry Jones would talk about that, as CeeDee Lamb got paid, well-deservingly so. Not that it matters. Number one fantasy wide receiver last year, ain't done.
So good.
Yeah. But CeeDee Lamb finally gets his contract, which is Dallas is down to two. Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott. We all agree that probably Micah Parsons is getting paid next? Or do you think it's Dak?
I would pay Micah Parsons. I wouldn't pay Dak. But that's how I feel.
Mac, you're on the opposite foot, right?
Yeah, they're, I mean, no.
Unless you just want to hang out in the wild card round, pay Dak all the money in the world.
They're going to pay both. It's going to happen. This is what they do every year. This is what they do every time for the last 10 years. They wait till the deadline, and then they pay the guy the most money. They reset the market. They could have paid CeeDee a year ago. Five receivers have been paid since? Like, yeah. This could have been done. What, five quarterbacks have been paid since? Right. Tua just got crazy
CeeDee
money.
Maybe didn't want to get paid, though, last year and wanted
maybe,
to wait.
Maybe.
Two. Which a lot of, like, if you're CeeDee Lamb, why would you sign early? You know you're going to be getting the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he played it right. I'm not signing until it's time to sign. I'm not signing until some of these other guys get paid. I'm better than a lot of these other guys in the NFL. That. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to let the market set itself, because if CeeDee Lamb got paid a year ago, he'd be severely underpaid, and then you'd be dealing with him being mad that he got paid too early, right? Because every wide receiver is looking at how much other wide receivers make. If CeeDee Lamb looks at it, he's like, oh my God, I got paid less than this guy and I'm better than him. So I think he played it absolutely right. Absolutely right.
There's two things I found out yesterday. One is Ja'Marr Chase is about to get a ton of money.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I feel like if I could have one receiver not named Tyreek Hill on my team, it's Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's got the full makeup in it. He's fast. He's tough. He's strong.
A good football player.
Over the middle. He talks a lot of trash, backs it up, unless he plays the Chiefs.
I'm sure people here don't like him, but if he becomes a free agent, he'd be the number one target for everybody in Kansas City, right?
And then the other thing that it brought up is that you look at the guys that made the money that they did, and it's like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, those type of guys. One thing I found out is the drama that we've had, other than the CeeDee Lamb in Dallas sort of thing, Brandon Ayuk is nowhere near these guys. And
no,
I'm not trying to take a shot at Brandon Ayuk. I guess I kind of am. Good receiver, but he's not in this class.
Right.
Like, let's just call it what it is. Brock Purdy doesn't deserve to make the money that the quarterbacks that are in the top five class of quarterbacks deserve to make.
Right.
The problem is that the market is so flooded. Like, Kyler Murray makes a ton of money. Tua makes a ton of money. And it's like, are you putting two in the same class as Burrow, Mahomes, and Rodgers, and Herbert, and Lamar? Probably not. Just like in this sort of case and situation, like, Brandon Ayuk deserves a lot of money. Brandon Ayuk is a fantastic wide receiver on a really good team. But I don't know if Brandon Ayuk is in the classification as CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, you know, those type of receivers. And that market is going to continue to go up and up and up and up as Ja'Marr Chase is the next man on the block and is still refusing to show up without getting paid, wants to get paid, doing the opposite effect of what you said of CeeDee Lamb. Pay me now, and then we can figure out where we go from here. So,
well, I think you're right about Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk strikes me as the type of wide receiver, you know, back in the day when Alvin Harper left the Dallas Cowboys and you never heard from that guy again when he went to Tampa Bay. Like, I think that's the type of kind of wide receiver that Brandon Ayuk is. Like, I think he's a good receiver, but I also think he's a very big product of the system that he has with McCaffrey, with Kittle, you know, with Deebo Samuel. Like, he's the fourth option on that field right now for San Francisco, right? You would look at Brandon Ayuk is the fourth option from an offensive standpoint on that field. And so sometimes the fourth option thinks they're as good as the first option when everybody really knows you're the fourth option for a reason. You can try to go out there and get paid. Nobody's seemingly willing to make the payment to Brandon Ayuk that he wants. Pittsburgh didn't meet his demands. Cleveland hasn't met his demands. New England hasn't met his demands. Maybe Washington has not yet met his demands. San Francisco's not meeting his demands right now. Like, sometimes the player has to realize they're not as good as they perceive that they are, and sometimes they just have to accept the best deal that is out there that folks are willing to pay. The Brock Purdy thing is the same way. You know, we pay guys in sports now because they're the next, not because they're deserving or they're the best or they're better than others that have come before them. We just pay them more now because, well, that's just somehow, some way, that's the way that the sports world has worked. The next quarterback's going to make more than this guy. On no planet should any quarterback in this league be making more than Patrick Mahomes. There should be some sort of rule in place for the quarterbacks. Like, here's what Patrick Mahomes is making. Nobody can make over what Patrick Mahomes can make because nobody's as good as Patrick Mahomes in this league. And most likely, if the Dallas Cowboys do sign Dak Prescott, he will probably get a deal better than Patrick Mahomes, and Dak Prescott can't find his way out of the divisional round of the playoffs.
No doubt about it. Cuts will be official today. They'll cut the roster down to the official.
I mean, they're going to start rolling through this morning, you got to think. We'll start, right? A couple came out yesterday and whatnot. The Chiefs released some guys yesterday and clearly well short of the 37, you know, that need to be released beginning or effective today at like 4 o'clock or whatever it is.
No doubt about it. Mac Maury, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. For those of you listening on the app, we're sorry. We're trying to work things out. We'll get it back up and running. I hope we can do it as fast as we possibly can. Just a little heads up.
Oasis is back, official.
Yep, done. There we go. Red Friday sports betting t-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with me, your boy, Dusty Likens. I'll be at Tanner's Bar and Grill at 39th and Rainbow in KCK. Stop by between 3 and 6 p.m. to enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of K-State football tickets. You'll want to get there quickly because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK.com. Come see your boy. 39th and Rainbow this Friday. I'll be there from 3 to 5.
There you go. I'll be out and about too this week. Hy-Vee tomorrow. Is tomorrow Wednesday? No, tomorrow's, yep.
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
So Thursday, I'll be out at the Hy-Vee in Shawnee off of 63rd Street. Mm-hmm. We're getting you ready for Labor Day weekend. We're going to have steak specials going on Thursday. $10 steak. All you can devour your steak. Mm. Not all you can eat, but you get your steak, your vegetable, your potato, and all that for $10 at Hy-Vee. So we'll be out there on Thursday from 11 to 1. And Thursday also marks a week away from your first time to tailgate at Arrowhead this year, so you can get all your tailgate goods as well. So a lot going on, Dusty, as we get set for the start of the football season, right?
Who'd have thought? Out with the people. I like meeting and greeting.
Got to meet and greet.
People get to see this beautiful face.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I'm biased. So I don't want to spend too much time on it because I don't know how much information is out there other than a 5-4 vote of no. So you know where this is going, and this is Bob Fesco's field. But more stadium information comes out yesterday. Jackson County decides to vote 5-4 against putting on the ballot in November.
Which is smart.
Yep. So now there's no vote. It goes to a 5-4 decision of no. And I thought it was funny because yesterday we were watching the news. And they're like, let's go down to like local Jackson County. And they went straight to Mayor Quentin Lucas. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is the guy. Okay. So anyways, your field, your sort of topic here, Bob Fesco, let the people know what they, should have found out yesterday, what they can find out in the process that is more information that leaks little by little about the stadium information in Kansas.
Yeah, the 5-4 vote yesterday was, I don't even really know what that was about yesterday. That was like allegedly for the Chiefs to do improvements to Arrowhead Stadium. And at this point in time, if a vote doesn't include something that, benefits the Royals or the new stadium, I'm not in favor of renovations to Arrowhead Stadium. I don't think it makes any sense at this point in time to do that. It's time for a new stadium, okay? Because putting money in, taxpayer money, into a stadium that you're going to renovate and keep for the next 20 years is just not a prudent use of taxpayer dollars. If we want to talk about how to spend taxpayer dollars, spending it on a renovation for Arrowhead that's going to last 20 years does not make any fiscal sense to me. The real story yesterday for me, though, came when somebody floated out this Crown Center baseball idea for the Royals, and they essentially want to build the new baseball stadium in Washington Park down by Crown Center, which is a swath of land down in KC Mo. And I hate this idea, first and foremost. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. I think this is the worst possible spot that they floated out there for a baseball stadium for the Kansas City Royals, because it doesn't provide anything that the organization has talked about for the last 3 years, and that's the ability to develop an entertainment district around the stadium. And the importance of the entertainment district around the stadium, and this is quite honestly where John Sherman needs to address the fans and tell everybody kind of what's going on and what they want. The reason you need the entertainment district district is because that's how you're going to generate money in baseball. Those TV deals that we've seen are not going to be around much anymore. And we got one company in bankruptcy that's not paying anybody right now with that Diamond Sports Group with Bally's. And so the landscape of how these teams are going to make their money are drastically changing. Teams are getting into the quote-unquote real estate business. The Atlanta Braves have done it with the Battery. The Cubs are doing it with Wrigley right now. The Cardinals are doing it. Everybody's doing it in baseball to generate money to put back into the team. This spot that they show down, you know, by Crown Center doesn't lend itself to that. They say it's surrounded by existing attractions, which are not owned by the team, which would not make the team money in order to put back into the ball club. They claim there's abundant parking down there by Crown Center. You ever try to get off the highway and get to Crown Center? That may be the least accessible area in all of downtown Kansas City to try to put a baseball stadium. It's on the streetcar line. They say, great, over 50% of season ticket holders are coming from Johnson County. They ain't going to be using the streetcar line. And they say zero business displacement. 100% right about that. But there is a park displacement. And I'm not in favor of taking a public park and turning it into a baseball stadium when you don't have the ability to develop that land around the baseball stadium for the organization to have bars, restaurants, hotels, businesses, and whatnot. I saw the other day that Papa John's relocated its corporate headquarters to the Battery in Atlanta. That's how big a boom that place has been. And so if John Sherman wants the Battery, which he's talked about before, 17th and Grand and Crown Center area is not the area to do that. If John Sherman's number one goal, though, is to have a downtown baseball stadium, then that spot probably works. But I think of all the spots that we've seen, this is by far the worst possible location for a baseball stadium, especially when you still have the East Village spot out there that would lend you and give you the ability to go out there and develop around the stadium and build some bars and restaurants that can help generate money to keep this team together. You want to keep winning, you got to find ways to generate money. And the TV thing is probably not going to be as lucrative as we once thought in all of Major League Baseball. So I'm looking at it right now and I'm thinking like this site that they floated out there yesterday is probably the last opportunity and the last site that they could probably get a stadium done in downtown KCMO. But you have to weigh what's more important, a downtown baseball stadium, which I like, or the ability to have the development and make more money to pay more players to put a better team out there on the field.
Because that's the area that they showed. That's like where they use Boulevardia, right? Like that's that same area.
But that's where they have the Irish Fest, right?
Yeah.
And so you would be displacing the Irish Fest.
It's just right at Union Station.
Yeah,
right?
That park right there where you had the parade and that park across from the West End and all that stuff right there.
You could almost see a game from like the top.
You could from the top of the West. It would be, but that doesn't generate money for the Royals.
Yeah,
I'm all about trying to make the Royals as much money as possible so they can put that back into the team, as we saw. So anybody who's doubting John Sherman, is he going to spend on this team? I think we know the answer to that question. They loaded up Bobby Witt. They paid, you know, Lugo. They paid all these guys in the offseason to come here. John Sherman has shown he's going to spend. I want him to continue to be able to do that, and that's why I want him to have that entertainment district so he can make more money and in turn spend more money. The other thing that I've heard about this Washington Square Park or whatever it's called down there that makes sense is that the Port Authority of Kansas City controls that area, and they would spend the money, the quote-unquote public dollars, and it wouldn't have to go to a vote, which I'm all in favor of at this point in time. Just build the stadium. We don't need to go to a vote of the people anymore with this one because we saw how the last one went. And if the Port Authority controls that area and they have the ability to scratch a check of public funds without having to go to a vote, I understand why that would be appealing to the Royals as well. But to me, what you're trying to do is not going to give you what you ultimately wanted, and that was the ability to develop the land around the stadium, apartments, hotels, and offices, and restaurants, and bars, to give you the opportunity to generate more money. Baseball teams, football teams, sports entities now are more than just what you're seeing on the field. It's more than just going to the game. It's how do I generate money everywhere else? I mean, we just saw a tweet this morning from Adam Schefter. The NFL is going to vote today that they can sell 10% of their franchises to basically hedge funds because they're looking to generate more money. I want our teams to generate as much money as possible to be in a situation where they're very solvent here, where they can put money back into the team, and it's great for all of us. I just don't think that site, in my opinion, makes much sense for the Royals. But if ultimately the number one goal is to have a downtown stadium, and this is the last opportunity to get that downtown stadium, and that's more important to John Sherman than developing the area around it, then by God, go do it. But I don't want to hear we can't compete with other markets and we're a small market team if this is the stadium site that they ultimately choose and it doesn't lend itself to the development that they want that would bring in more money.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's why I let you just cook on these topics, because the only thing I thought of when I saw that was how cool it would be if every time the Royals hit a home run, they lit up the Western Auto sign.
It'd be nice. Yeah,
but there's other things other than lights, cameras, and whistles. I get it. And yeah. I get it. I understand that that's why. You know, you have to think about the other things around.
Right, you do. And so.
And then the hotel looking.
Yeah, it'd be cool. But again, if you build this stadium there.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about small market and small revenue and all that stuff that's been peddled over the last 30 years with the Royals. It will no longer apply because that's the site you're choosing. You could very well go to Kansas out in the Legends, take their money, build an entertainment district out there, and then generate money that way. Or you can build this spot at 17th and Grand and not have the ability to do that. But that, to me, then removes all the small market, all the small revenue streams and all that kind of nonsense that Glass hid behind for all those years. It takes all that away if you choose this as your site. Because you're essentially doing the same thing that you have at Kauffman Stadium. You've got a stadium, but you've got nothing around it that is yours to generate money. I just don't think it makes much sense.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We are working on the app issues, I promise. Yep. Also, I want to switch some things around on last minute. I want to get into Deion Sanders and everything that's going on in Colorado because I am passionate about that program. I love that man a lot, but there are some issues that are going on, and Bob has been telling us all summer. Also, I want to dive right back into the Royals because Salvador Perez is a captain. He's a hero, and he's a local celebrity for many, many reasons, and where he ranks in Kansas City sports history. I'm Dusty. That's Mac and Bob Fesco. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
5. The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.